Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner, I'm just laughing so much. You got me giggling.
What are we talking about? That's so funny.
What are we not talking about this week? We got so much. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want to honor and celebrate a man that I think has had a great effect on many people's lives. And I want to celebrate Stan Lee and the work of diversity that he has done and the impact that he has done in his life. Yeah.
I agree. Thank you, Stan Lee. I'm ready to celebrate that. And I'm just going to give a little point towards the creation of Sam Esmail because he does some good casting. And I think we need to look at that.
Ooh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to give that. I want to give that a looky-loo with you.
Okay.
Also, there is just so much. We have pop culture bonanza.
Yes, we do.
The state of the world, what is happening. Mm-hmm. I've got some bombshell news for you about a 90s pop group.
Ooh, I'm ready to hear about that bombshell news. Your face is in lights.
My face is in lights. If you're in New York City, you might be seeing my face around town, and we'll tell you how. Mm-hmm. And there's some new emojis that we need to talk about.
Apple, I'm side-eyeing you about your methods.
Ooh, she coming for you. And I went to a conference that I can't wait to tell you all about.
Okay,
no Kool-Aid was drank, but I'm going to tell you all about that. And also, we got to talk about Nazis. They're up and coming.
Yuck.
And Jaden Smith has a new boyfriend.
Yeah, or is Jaden Smith a bad boyfriend?
Oh, yeah.
That's the question.
Well, then that is the question. Well, let's get into it and discuss.
Let's go.
All aboard on the Giggle Express.
I know. Look at you coming in laughing all fun.
You were too. You just took a breath.
I just have a quiet laugh.
Well, welcome to Giggle Express Friday or whatever day you're listening to.
Who knows?
We are in full activation mode. We got
we
activated.
Are. Yes. We're even taking on a new name, Kwanzaa Twins, because we black.
Kwanzaa Twins, we black. And it's right around the corner. Get ready. Kwanzaa Town is coming up again.
It is.
Tara Reid, Party Girl Voice, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing like booze related. I went to I lost my voice at the 4-day, I went to a Tony Robbins 4-day Unleash the Power Thin conference.
He likes to scream, doesn't he? I tried to watch a documentary on him and he was just screaming the whole time. And I was like, oh my God.
That's how you unleash your power.
You scream. Literally.
A lot, yeah. It was a lot. But, you know, I got to say, the guy's been in the industry for 30 or 40 years. And I feel like if you've been in the game that long, like you're doing something right. And he coaches, like he's coached Serena Williams, Bill Clinton.
Oh, wow, he has?
So many people in the industry. And he's got he gives so much energy. The man is a freak of nature. He's a machine. He's on stage for 13, 14 hours. Doesn't pee, doesn't eat, drink anything, but he primes his body to be able to give. And he's there the first day and the third.
Primes his body.
Yeah, you prime your body to get you into this mental state. And essentially, so you walk on fire. Maybe you've seen Oprah do it on the, she did it incorrectly because she ran across and that's dangerous. She could have fallen.
Oh, God.
You're supposed to walk across.
What the hell?
But you do all these different exercises. And it's you just feel so pumped and energized and really to give the tools to tackle your own fears and realize the biggest person that's ever been standing in your way is yourself. And 50 hours of that. But I will say he's there the first day and the third day he's not. The second day he's not there because
he's priming.
He fused his vocal cords to his body on act. Doctors are like, we don't know
what
how you're talking.
Hell?
Like, we don't know how, you shouldn't be allowed to talk anymore. Freak of nature. The reason why he's 6'7" is because he had a tumor in the back of his head and it forced him to grow.
What is this
story?
The man
is just bananas.
This is wow. This is an experience.
An arena an arena of like 12,000 people at the Prudential Center. And it's just like, what a beautiful space. Like everybody's just there like to elevate their energy towards positivity and love and doing their best. Like it's such an empowering atmosphere to be around. And he wasn't there the second day. The third day he's there and you can feel a wave of difference. The moment that man stepped on the stage, you felt this like energy, like just like emanate from him.
Wow,
it was bananas. And so I have no voice. Highly recommend if you are looking to just take your life to the next level, to feel better about yourself, give yourself direction, to realize that you are an unstoppable beast and that you can walk on fire with a little bit of
burning. I have heard that he came under some tiny slight issue during Me Too a little bit. Because he...
Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear about that? Did he address it?
Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. Because he's too busy doing his, like, conference and thing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's sometimes, like, listen, like... There's times like any lecture, like I listen to Marianne Williams and sometimes she says things and I'm like, oh, okay.
Grain of salt.
You know, like sometimes people say things and I don't know. Like I sometimes have to put my pitchfork down a bit.
Yeah,
and
I think
he absolutely the guy who steps in for him is a black guy who's like, so it was really nice to see this other like black guy step on the stage who's like his sort of second in command.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have a pitchfork. I just felt like, you know,
sure.
Somebody probably listening. We just want to put it out there.
Cover all the bases. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like there's someone who probably, like, I know, like I've said things on this podcast that people are like, that guy. And, but it's, you know, and you can attest to this. It is hard when not that we're in like the limelight, but when you've got a recording mechanism, like it's hard. You're kind of just talking off the cuff. You're just talking off the mind. And
sometimes.
And so I think, you know, people sometimes have the ability, need the space to be able to process their thoughts and things get taken out of context.
Totally. And, I think the thing that we, at least I can't speak for anybody else except for us and basically myself, but since I know you pretty well, I do feel like we at least, if somebody calls us on it, we'll be like, oh, let's investigate it, which I think is the important thing.
Yeah,
that's the way that most everybody needs to look at it. It's like, we're all going to say bullshit from time to time. Like, I've said some horrible things probably. And well, maybe, the hour's still to come.
I'm just kidding. That's not true.
We're just at the beginning of this podcast.
The kids are just going to be replaying that. It'll be on all the magazine covers of the store. Feud on Minority Corner.
But the thing is, like, if somebody calls me out, I'm going to definitely
investigate it. Yes.
Listen to it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you feel empowered and you lost your voice with power.
For a good reason. I've noticed like a subtle sort of change. Just one thing we talk about in the conference is, you know, if you adjust 1 degree every day, not to go and say, I'm going to make this huge fucking change, I'm going to be this whole new person. But if you just take like one step every day, you take 1 degree of change every day, within 365 days, you've now rotated a full, like, you're like, you know, like the idea of just taking it bit by bit. So like 360 degrees. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. It's just like step by step taking it, like you're not going to do a marathon
right
in 15 minutes.
Yeah. But I have, like, and they give you different, like, techniques and things to use. And also just, like, with, like, health and different, like, ergonomic stretches that you should be doing, like, every 2 hours. Just, like, all kinds of thoughts. And, like, I feel like my barriers of myself of, like, I think we subconsciously, so many of us have these, especially if we're on the fringe or marginalized, of those things that have held us back, either things in the past or things that people have said, or, you know, I'm black and I can't do this, or I'm gay and I can't do this, or I'm a woman and I can't do this. And we have those embedded within us. And so much of Tony does is like, he has you up and down, jumping up and down and doing these different like things because it gets into your nervous system, into your physiology. And so then you have the idea is change your state, change your mind, change your physiology. So if you change your body, like interrupt that pattern of thought, if you're having these negative thoughts and you do it so much over the course of 50 hours, that now when I've been having these sort of like negative thoughts or judgmental thoughts or I'm not enough thoughts, I've been able to either laugh it off or do my move. Like it's been this subtle shift or change that those the same things I don't feel like have the same power over me. So that's my pitch. Drink the Kool-Aid if you want. Don't if you don't. But you know, it's so funny. You do so many high fives. You're hugging people. You're high fiving people all the time. And there's this one part where they're talking about like doing a detox. And they're like, you can buy like, and some of it, I will, if you go, 30% of it is absolutely, they're selling different products and different classes because it's a business and there's life coaching and that's what it is, like full disclosure. And my friend I'm with, he's like, yeah, I'm going to buy that detox. And I'm like, so you're literally going to drink the Kool-Aid? Literally going to drink it.
Look at you, James.
No.
For this is why we can exist as friends, because we meet each other halfway. I'm super cynical, like whatever, you know, to all that stuff, but I will listen to it and I will understand it. I'll be like, yeah, that I understand that. And then you are like, yeah, I love, you know, some self-help. I understand it. It enriches my life. But then you're like, but I'm not going to buy that detox. It's like, I feel like we're able to meet each other.
We meet each other in the middle. I can do the whole 30 and it don't cost me no like detox or whatever, but I get it. Certain people need different things at different times and different periods. So I'm not mad at it. And I think that again, like he's been in the industry for like 40 plus years. And if you're a fraud or a charlatan, like you just don't last that long and like the impacts that he's made on people. So
like that one that you listened to where they were like, rub your nipples or whatever the fuck that was.
And I was like, ooh, this is the cult. This is the cult, you know? Yes. And so I like, and I watched Leah Remini's Scientology documentary series.
Oh, yeah, Scientology. I'm she's coming to get you.
So I am ready for like, I have my cult antennas up. I am probably ready. So don't worry. Every moment I was like, I do a little check in. I'm like, is this a cult? Okay, no. Okay, we're good. Like, I would just check in with myself. I would check in. But I highly recommend. It's a dope ass conference. I just, you know, taking care of yourself. In not me news, Anege.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of like pop cultural stuff that I want to take your temperature on.
Yeah. I'm looking at our list.
We have a huge list.
And Shanice, I like your style. Why are you thinking about her?
So I was listening
yes. But wait. Yes. Wait. There are quite a number of white people that listen to this podcast.
Who don't know who Shanice is? No.
I'm pretty sure they don't know who Shanice is. Call me out, Twitter. Call me out.
She's calling for it. Come for her. She's laying it down.
Can you think of a song that she sang?
She already gave it away.
I may have just named
it. Named it. All the black people, they know it. I like your smile.
Right now, all the black people are going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I was just minding my, I was listening to my All Out 90s playlist, and that came on. And I was like, Shani, where is she? She was that, you never, like, every once in a while,
I guess she was a one-hit wonder, wasn't she?
These little, like, I didn't want to name it yet, but, like, at the time, we were like, she's the new thing.
She's a teen.
She's the one. And then
teen
they disappeared.
Popper.
She was, I believe it or not, she dated Eddie Winslow on an episode of Family Matters. Like, she was the up-and-coming.
Oh, so she guest starred.
She did. Like, Shanice. So I just was wondering, I didn't have time to Google, where Shanice? So those of you who are tweeting at Aneke, you can maybe like link an article of where she is.
Oh, you didn't even research this?
Oh, yeah.
This is just literally a question?
I was just asking questions and I wrote it down in our show outline. If I had a chance, I would. Oh, you were waiting for the results.
This is number one on the list. I thought you had a full expose.
I love that you were waiting to find out where Shanice was. No, I was
excited. I didn't know you were literally going to be asking me.
Where is she? You know where she is? Nope. All right. Next point. You know.
Keep me on my toes, man.
Moving on. Sadly, I'm so mad that you peeped into the show notes while I was writing this because I reaffirmed it. So, think you'll never think of Ace of Base the same again. These came on to me back to back because they're on my same All at 90s playlist that I was listening to. So, this is where the inspiration
did
for
you
this
not
came.
Research this one
this
too?
One I
is
did.
This like, were you okay?
I'm hit or miss with my research. Listen, I don't have a master's degree in my research. I'm not, I know where my shortcomings are.
Where is Shanice today? Real question. Hello.
Sometimes it's good to like have a paper. You know, there's articles where they just pose questions and a think piece. That was just my little think piece. I want you to
think
of that.
That's not a piece. That's just a question.
Okay, well, moving on. So you think you will never listen to Ace of Base the same again. One of the founding members was a neo-Nazi.
I know. I heard this a while back, and this is terrible, and it probably explains the state of our country.
Yeah.
I still listen to Ace of Base.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. I had heard about this at a party, and I kind of shrugged it off because I was like, ignorance is bliss. But it was haunting me. Every time I hear their music, I can't shake it. And like, that's it's good. Like the music burns my body in my ear. And so I researched it. And yeah, one of the founding members, Ulf Ekberg, was in a band called Commit Suicide. And yeah, they were just like this like neo-Nazi band that had, let's see if I can find some of them. They had all kinds of just horrible like lyrics just about like men in hoods and lynching people.
Yikes.
And,
after Ace of Base, this is the term this person took.
No, this is before. This is before.
This is before.
Yeah.
How do you go from that to like I saw the sign? Not open.
He was looking for a job, and they hired him because one of his lyrics were men in white hoods march down the road. We enjoy ourselves when we're swagging off niggers, heads, immigrants.
Whoa, N word.
We hate you. Out, 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 out. Nordic people, wake up now.
This isn't even lyrically great.
Shoot, shoot, shoot. Yeah. So
no, this is just bad writing. All right,
and
well,
it's still
now,
it's not for sure if the other members of Ace of Base know if they knew of his neo-Nazi past, but I mean,
I don't know. Now
they
do.
Know. And I think they've yet
but,
to
I
come
mean,
up
they're
with
not
a
together.
Statement. I know that's true, but so just think about it. You'll never listen to their music ever again. I may have ruined it for you, but knowledge is power.
I mean, I was at your stage before where I just heard it like passing, and I was like, huh. And then now that you've actually read the lyrics. And this sucks, though, James, because this was literally one of the first tapes that I purchased with my own money.
I know. I hate
which
to...
Which dates me.
Right? It does. But, yeah, I just, you know, I know that you love information. You love some information. You do.
I don't know.
You're a Pac-Man
do
for
I?
Information.
I don't know anymore.
Well, so there's that.
Don't tell me anything about Real McCoy.
Oh my God, let me tell you about them.
They had two black ladies in it.
I love me some Real McCoy. Like, that was my jam. Mm-hmm. That is my shit.
Don't you dare ruin Real McCoy for me.
I wouldn't even want to ruin it for myself. So there's that.
Okay. So we were texting earlier.
We were texting up a storm.
And we discovered that Apple is fucking shady as hell.
Yes.
Because they don't roll out the upgrades all at the same time. I think we discovered that they roll out the upgrades to like first, like to high priority is the highest number.
Yeah.
So and like then the it fucking X's. Trickles down.
Yeah.
Which is so rude.
And that guy's sending me all these emojis and it's just question mark boxes. And I'm like, what? She's more creative than that. If I know my Aneke, she's not just sending me question mark boxes.
Like, I don't know, question mark box.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, it's me. My phone is behind. I feel like I just updated it. And every time there's a new emoji update, Aneke and I will spend, I'm not going to say how much time because our bosses might be listening, but we might spend some time going over the new
it's
emojis.
Research.
It's research so we can tell the people. So that's fucked up. Your, what is it? Trickle down upgrade,
Apple.
As Aneke dubbed it.
Cool. Yeah. Which actually sounds kind of backwards, trickle down upgrade. But it's still fucked up. Fuck you, Apple. What's up with that? I don't like that. Everybody, emojis for all.
Emojis
That's
for
what
all.
I'm saying.
Yeah. And you know what? If you want to make it right, you can give me an upgrade to that X so I can bend the Alita's track. You know, I ain't mad about it.
Look at you. Whispering. Once you're at the top, don't even care. And
I got
don't even
mine.
Know who you're whispering
I got
to.
My emojis. Good luck.
You know
I worked for mine. I put myself in my own bootstraps. Good luck, suckers.
You know that it's just me here right now. Right?
I don't know where I came from. I don't remember where I came from. No humble beginnings here.
Oh, God.
There's two things that, speaking of Nazis, because we've already talked about them, there's two neo-Nazi points I would like to make on this podcast.
Yuck.
That, but I mean, right. They are sadly coming into trend. Like, they have a new channel that they just created that see.
They have a TV channel?
It's like, I forget. They're like,
fucking greenlit that?
You watch enough YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's because they've all been kicked off of, like, Twitter. So they're forming their own network. And I think, like, Steve Bannon's, like, leading it. So that's gross. Bananas. But then there's the Baraboo High School in, where is it? Wisconsin.
Oh, yes, that picture.
Graduating class 2019, they did, as their prom photos, all these dudes did a Nazi salutes. Except there was a few that didn't, and one of them was, I'm looking for his name, mm-hmm. but it was this young gay kid, this young gay high schooler. And he was like, that didn't go with my values. And he's like, these guys knew. He's like, I wasn't going to salute. It didn't go with my values. He said that there was parents who were like yelling, like, stop doing that Nazi salute. And then some of the...
What? Can you imagine having to be a parent to say something like that? Like, what the fuck?
Well, and this is the thing where I just, like, we don't teach our... I feel bad for these kids because... they're not learning their history, because if they really, really knew the deep history of that, they wouldn't do it. And so we're failing these kids, and they're going to look back at this and be like, damn, that was a fucked up moment of mine. We are failing our youth by not teaching our history.
Couple of points.
Yeah.
First point. Do they not fucking realize that half of their grandparents fucking, or great grandparents at this point, I don't know how old they are, fought against Nazis?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, literally everybody has somebody related that to World War II that was involved in it. And if you're American and been here for a couple of generations, then you fucking had somebody that fought against Nazis, you dumb shits.
Yep.
Two, I'm side-eyeing all the people, including that one guy who's now on his high horse talking about how he didn't do the salute. This picture came out months ago. No one said shit. No one said boo until this picture came out. Like, if I was a part of a photo where all my girlfriends started doing a Nazi salute and then posted it on social media, then I would be like, hey, I'm going to spread this around. Look at this dumb shit. I'm going to, like, renounce it. Like,
can I jump
in? I feel like a lot of people...
I just want to jump in. So this kid, Jordan Blue, who is, like, one of the only gay kids at his high school, it's like it's tradition that all the kids of the graduating class, all the boys come together and they take this photo.
Oh, it's so not it's like they everybody were friends. Taking the photo.
Yeah, and so can see him in the photo. He's not. He actually talks about how the kids bully him. So I don't think that he was really in a place to be like, yeah, it was the one sort of one gay kid who stood up.
I thought it was just like a group of kids going to prom.
Totally.
And then they took the picture. Then I would be like,
it was you and your
but
friend.
But if it's like everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's everybody at the high school and he's bullied, then all right, I get that.
Although the young black kid didn't even tweet it, like, we even got the black kid to do it. But you know what? That's hard when you're the only.
It's hard to be the only. You know what? I will never look at someone who's the only because that's hard.
You are dealing with plethora of things. I'm just like, yeah. Ugh.
What I will look at, whoever, are all those idiots who did it together.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, and then.
What is your idiots?
Yeah. So it gets worse. So what else are Nazis up to today? So then I came across this other article that there is a horrific new video game where it's like breaks my heart, where you win by shooting LGBTQ people in a nightclub.
What?
It is
What the fuck is that nasty shit?
Yeah, this asshole, Christopher Cantwell, who is an avowed white supremacist neo-Nazi. He became the laughingstock of the internet when on YouTube, a video surfaced of him breaking down in tears when he got served with an arrest warrant for inciting violence in Charlottesville.
I remember this guy.
Yeah, so it's fucking ridiculous. It's essentially a video game where people break into what they call the LGBTQ agenda HQ, and you shoot gay and transgender people.
What?
And gay men
That's
are given
disgusting.
Erect penises to portray sexual predators, and there's a poster outside that says children welcome. So fuck that guy.
I am so done with this hate. I'm so done with this hate. I'm so done with it. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir right now. If you're listening to this fucking podcast, then you're not a hateful person. But James, I just have like such a hard time with it.
Yeah, no. And like, where does that, like, I think that there's just so much fear inside of these people. There's just so much fear. And so in some ways, like, I know, like, my heart just goes out. And like, you know, for me, not to get on my spiritual woo-woo side, but part of my meditation practice is like to envision light coming into me and going out into the world and pushing that out there. And I think like,
which is nice.
Well, and like, it's our love has to conquer over that fear. And I think it's also partly in the work that we do and why I believe in us as like storytellers is to go out there and tell stories and in all the different ways that you have stories from, you know, movies to podcasts to theater to comics to all these sort of things, because really good stories, they help to then create empathy, and then people can kind of understand and see like, oh, my fear, oh, this is bullshit, me being fearful of this other person. And I think it has. I think we're living in the effects that storytelling has had. I've said this before, but I think Glee is part of the reason why gay marriage passed, because you were able to sort of see these stories of young, you know, gay kids and their families and how they process it, and then people start, it starts to be less scary in that sense.
Right. Can you get arrested for creating a video game like that, or is that free speech?
That's a great question. I think it might be underneath freedom of speech. And, you know, my ladies on The View, Sunny Houston, she's a lawyer and she often talks about it. And she's, you
look
know,
at you.
Love me some Sunny.
The View.
My ladies on The View. And she, again, like, of course, I mean, she's this, you know, Puerto Rican woman here, born and raised here in New York.
Lawyer.
And she and her husband is like, you know, he has family from Haiti. You know, so I mean, like, so, but even she would denounce something like this, but even she says, like, with the, you know, when we start limiting speech, it gets tricky. Like, they say you want to keep and allow the most hateful of hate speech, is because if you start limiting on one direction, the potential to limit on the other. So we just keep, you know, snuffing out their stupidness and just keep doing what it is that we're doing. And mainly just the thing to put out there of like, hey, this fucked up thing is happening. And if your like nephew or like, you know, someone is playing this game, you shut that shit down.
Keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out what them kids
are
playing.
Watch what your kids are doing.
Can we look at one?
Look at their phones every once in a while.
Yeah. Yes. Look at what your kids are doing on that phone. I can't even imagine. Oh, Lord.
They don't get no privacy when they're under your roof.
No, that is true. What is going on in this door, behind this door? That's how most of my family. There was no privacy underneath the roof, and I get
Hell no, I got no fucking privacy. And you know what? I'm happy because that kept me away from some crazy shit.
Yes, because behind closed doors, my prepubescent adolescent mind could get itself into some trouble.
Curious.
Yeah, you just curiosity, and you know what happened to that cat. Last little
Nazis.
Thing before, Nazis got that damn cat. Got too curious.
You're too curious.
Last thing that just blew. So I wasn't even me. Like, this just hit me. Let me walk you through how I found out about this. So first of all,
I don't even know what it is. Let's do it.
First of all, I see this like article on Queerity, and it's just like Jaden Smith announces about his new celebrity boyfriend, and I was like, what?
Oh yeah, and you're like, but what?
So then I click in, and then Jaden Smith at his concert, which also I'm still like, but what? Jaden Smith has the concerts and is doing music?
Yeah, he's like a vague rapper singer. I don't know what's going
on. Okay, so I have so many blah.
He's a rich kid.
And then also I click on it and I'm like, blah, he has 90s blonde hair? Like, you know, when we used to dye, he used to dye your hair like super bleach blonde.
I mean, Cisco was a thing.
Yeah, he looks like a young 90s Cisco. He said, and I quote, this is him on stage, he says, I just want to say Tyler, the Creator, is the best friend in the whole world, and I love him so fucking much. And Tyler doesn't want me to say this, but Tyler is my motherfucking boyfriend. And he's my motherfucking boyfriend my motherfucking boyfriend my whole life. Tyler, the Creator, is my fucking boyfriend. It's true.
My whole life?
Yeah, and then he put a tweet, something to the effect of just like, see, you can't deny it now. And then the second article.
That's rude.
Well, then the next article I read was like, he sent us deleted that tweet and. So now we're not sure if they're really dating or not.
Okay. lot of things to unpack with this. First and foremost, Tyler, the creator, has been known to put out some songs, hints that he might be gay or bisexual, which, you know, that's his business, you know? And however way he wants to reveal himself, I think that that's, you know, the way he can. If he's dating Jaden, then great. Good for them. I want them to have love. But I also feel like Jaden is a disrespectful-ass boyfriend by going out on stage and proclaiming craziness and then being like, haha, can't take it back on Twitter. I would be like, you know that I'm a part of the hip hop community, which is horribly homophobic.
He's just helping to not
need my own time.
He's just helping to bust him out of that door, out of that closet door. He's just bulldozing it out.
That's rude.
Pulling him out. I agree. Everyone should be able to come out on their in their own time and in their own way. But Jaden crazy.
Especially not from Jaden Smith, rich kid.
Who also, sidebar, I don't know if you've seen this, but the new TV show with Jada Pinkett Smith, Red Table.
Red Table Talk.
I haven't seen it yet. There are posts, the billboards are all over New York.
It's on that Facebook TV shit that makes no sense.
Now I have something in common with Jada Pinkett Smith. Billboards, because her face is on a billboard and so is mine.
That's right. James's face is on a billboard. James's face is on litter in the street. James's face is on a website. James's face is everywhere with his best lady friend taking pictures and her kids and her family.
No, that's my wife and our adopted daughter.
Is it? No, I was like, those kids don't look like your kids. The picture got no bend in that hair.
It is the most like diverse. Like, so I did this shoot for Fidelis Care, Get Covered is the whole entire campaign. And then like someone just sent me a message there. One of our listeners, someone sent me a shout out. They're like, hey, is this you? And I'm on this giant ass billboard in
your
Brooklyn.
Face. And it's just like face. Your giant face taking up 2/3 of the billboard, which is amazing. You're just like peering over a building. You look like you're like, move, hey, get covered. And then you're going to go back down behind the building.
Oh my God. And then another
another
friend had a friend of his message. It was a full page ad of my face, a full page ad in the newspaper in some like on the ground in some dirt. And
why didn't he pick it up?
I love it that someone's like, I don't care about this ad or this person, but I'm like, that's me. Yay. My face is in
it's
dirt
like almost,
and everywhere.
You look like it's been photoshopped. It's just like, it looks like just regular, like, you know, newspaper on the ground, but it's James.
It's bananas.
I was like, what is this picture?
Dream come true.
This is crazy.
And then one of our
You had no idea they would use you this much?
Well, I had no idea to the extent. I had maybe an inkling because they did a kids campaign earlier, and outside of this giant, like, it's huge. In Harlem, there's this giant, like, wall outside of AMC that's on, like, the fourth floor. It's huge, huge, huge.
Oh,
they did
wow.
a campaign with the kids, and I was like, maybe that'll be me because I just filmed my commercial of Get Covered. And there it is. It's real. And there might be more to come. I hear in Albany, upstate, I'm all over buses. So
this is so exciting.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, yeah. So
local hero,
get
man.
Covered, y'all.
I wish it was out here.
I know. Yeah. Well, get covered.
But still, it's
health insurance.
I want somebody to like want your signature. You should go up to Albany and just start signing sides of buses.
I could be like, oh, yep, this is me. I am gonna go to that billboard over in Brooklyn and take pictures in front of it. Like,
you
of
have
course.
To.
Yeah, it's my first
you
billboard.
Have to.
Dreams come true.
You absolutely have to.
Oh, well, wow.
That was
We should get into it. We have been jibber jabbing.
I'm ready.
Nimmer nabbering.
Let's
and
do it.
We've got the rest of the episode to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for your corner.
How does this sound? A weekend on a beautiful mountaintop in California. You wake up, eat a tasty meal with some new friends, some old friends, maybe the hosts of your favorite podcasts. After that, it's a couple of inspiring classes, spectacular podcast tapings, a hilarious stand-up showcase, a dance party, and more. And s'mores! All of this can be yours at Max FunCon, returning to Lake Arrowhead next June. Tickets go on sale Friday, November 23rd. Put that on your calendar because Max FunCon tickets always sell out. Get a head start planning your next summer vacation and go to maxfuncon.com to learn more.
We are going to celebrate the life of Stan Lee.
Woohoo!
Well, it's a little bit more of a...
Stan Lee.
Oh, sorry.
What?
That was a very quick theme song. I was like, we're going to have a bit of a somber mode. And then you had that Stan Lee. And now it's not somber at all. But you know what? Stan Lee wants us to celebrate.
But you know what? It's a celebration.
You know what? Did I not listen to what I just said?
Yeah.
Before we went to our interlude, I'm like, all right, let's start crying. No, I said celebration. So you're right. Thank you. Thank you for...
Yeah. And plus, you know what? I hate to say this.
Yeah, say it. Don't you... You say it.
I mean, he lived to 95,
yes.
Which I wish for all of us. And he did such an amazing, creative, progressive things with his life.
Yeah.
That one, he lived a long, full, wonderful life.
Yes,
and
he
created
did.
So much, got to be in movies, got to create a universe.
Yes.
Let's celebrate it. Let's be excited. Like, if I were Stan Lee and I died at 95, first of all, I'd be pissed because I'd want to live longer, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's still good. I'd be like, this is good.
I did good.
And I did all the things that he did. I'd be like, yeah, don't be sad. Be happy for what I did with this life, with these 95 years,
yeah.
You know?
And the impact, like just what you were saying, the impact that this man has had on people this globally, the impact, like I think we don't even realize on our day to day of like how much Stan Lee has affected like everybody and everything. So
I know
Stan Lee was actually born Stanley Martin Lieber. If you didn't know, little fun fact. He
was know another fun fact.
What?
We have the same birthday.
Oh my God, December 28th, 1922.
Yes.
Except not the 1922
part. Well, 19,
part.
You know.
Not the 1922 part. But oh my God. Well, that explains so much. Now I feel like I am so connected to you and Stan Lee.
I know. And Nichelle Nichols. All of us are like around the same birthday and the same like rules of 10. We're all born in like a year that ends with 2.
And I do feel like Nichelle Nichols would be the love child of you. Oh, wait, no, you would be the love child of Nichelle Nichols and Stan Lee.
And Stan Lee?
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yes, sci-fi nerd love.
That's
Let's
what I'm
do
saying.
It. December 28th, man. It's a magical... December 28th with a year that ends in 2.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he passed away recently on November 12th at 95, like you were saying. And he's a creator, we were just saying, of so many of our beloved characters from X-Men, Spider-Man, all the Avengers, Black Panther, the Scarlet Witch, and our very own.
Why does she get a witch?
I just wanted to throw her in there because I was like, I'm not naming any specific ladies, so I wanted to throw her in there. And then even our Nazi-punching, Nixon-punching Captain America.
Yes.
So he was born in New York City, and he had started off in working for Timely Comics back in 1939, and he also was working with Jack Kirby on titles like Captain America in 1941, and then he sees comics Silver Age as Marvel's Lee sees comics Silver Age as Marvel's in 1961 with the introduction of the Fantastic Four, which he also co-created with Kirby. And then he's just been doing all of these plethora from then on of all these different characters and universes that we know and love. And I kind of wanted to celebrate him because, like you were saying, I think specifically of just like Lee was such an ally to, I think, POC people.
Yes.
And he didn't always get it right. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, he is a white guy of the times that he was in, and he, you know, but he used...
I mean, let's just remember all the character names that start with black.
Right,
but, you know?
Yes, totally.
But still.
But, you know, he did use his white privilege for inclusion, and he didn't have to because none of the other mainstream comic books places were doing that, you know? They weren't doing it in the way that he was. And I couldn't find this for sure, so don't write your thesis on this, but one of my friends was saying, who's like this theater activist, he was saying how Stan Lee was working, FDR had given out all this money for artists in part of like one of his programming to help steer the economy. He was giving money out to
New Deal.
Right. But specifically within the New Deal, there was a program that was for artists specifically and get artists working. Yeah. And Stan Lee worked with like these black, he was a playwright working with black artists to help them tell their stories.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, and
that's really good.
And also, like, we're going to get to this too, but there is, you know, every, if you, you can't be as big as you are as Stan Lee and not have a little bit of controversy. So I know that some of you are like, but we'll get to that. But right now, I just want to celebrate this man. And there's lots of people behind the scenes at Marvel that really helped create it. But Lee was really just the pioneer and the face. And the comic industry, actually, when he first came on board, wasn't actually even too keen to him. Also that he was, you know, of Jewish background. And he actually changed his name, but not because of that, but because back then, writing, being a comic book writer was so embarrassing. And he wanted to...
Oh, interesting.
It was not the fame that it is today. It was like an embarrassing thing.
Oh.
And he was so sure that he was going to write the next great American novel. He never did, but yeah, he wanted to keep
so much better.
I think it's okay. I think you did okay.
Yeah,
I think you did okay. And, you know, so I think some of the reason why people love his character so much is they have like a sense, they have a sense of duty. All of his characters have like the sense of duty, and it's like a civic duty. And his characters, and his characters felt so human, so relatable, and they were flawed. You know, if you look over at DC, there's so much perfection running over there, except for Batman. But even then, like, he's a billionaire.
It's like perfection, but also like, you know, it's archetypes where I feel like in Marvel you can have like. It isn't so black and white.
Yes.
You know, like there's different shades and some people are good. Some people are bad. Some people are, you know, weirdos.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so much more.
Complexity about like the human experience. I feel like people really tied into that. And like you were saying too, like even the villains are so complex. You know, that's why people love Spider-Man's rogue gallery of villains because they're so complex. Yeah. Or people who are either down and out on their luck or got hit by, you know, some rich billionaire guy and they're just trying to get their life back together. There just were so many.
Right.
Things and you know
layers,
so many layers, and especially you know for the X-Men, which I think so many of us really connected to, especially if we us on the fringe, those of us marginalized people really connected to the X-Men, and you know it's so brilliant that he was able to use these stories and the X-Men as a case for building conversations around tolerance and inclusion.
Yes.
And sort of sneak it into these minds, these young minds that probably no one else was really talking about it. And this is like in the 60s. And he's just like going for these conversations. And the power
allegories.
Of sci-fi. Yeah, with the power of sci-fi when you can do it as an allegory and you can find ways to connect people to these stories that they normally probably wouldn't want to handle or don't want to sort of deal with. And the X-Men, you know, they received so much hatred and it didn't matter how many times they saved everyone's asses and they were viewed as, you know, violent and terrorists. And so many people can relate to that, whether LGBTQ, Muslim, immigrants, Latinos, blacks, Asians, you know, we've all been sort of vilified in that way by mainstream folks. And so here it is. And you're seeing people who are being, you know, celebrated for their differences and they're just of who they're born as who they are. And this is who they are. And they're just regular people. And yet
they're human.
What made them different is what made them special. Their gifts.
I love it.
And that made the world a better place where when these different people came together, they could do extraordinary things. X, 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 X.
I hope it. I mean, let's hope in honor of Stan Lee, Sony stops fucking it up.
It would be funny if they do a press release. You know what? In honor of Stan Lee passing away, we're going to stop fucking up his movies.
Stop fucking it up.
Fingers crossed. Venom didn't see it.
I know. No. Dark Phoenix is coming out. Hold your butts.
Well, she got postponed a bit, so...
Oh, never... Sony!
Well, no, that's Fox. That's Fox. That's Fox. That's Fox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay. No, all Sony has Sony is just Spider-Man's rogue gallery of people. X-Men, Fox has, like, X-Men and things like that. But they're all coming home back to Disney, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Good, because Fox is fucking it up. That's who I meant.
Fox? What? They've done some good stuff.
The X-Men movies have not been good. What? Except for, like...
X-Men 2 was pretty good. X-Men, the First Class was good.
Yes,
Days of Future Past was good. Like, Logan is good.
It was not.
Deadpool is good.
That one was good.
There's, like, half... It's okay. You didn't like Deadpool? Ooh.
Okay, you know what? I will give you Fox is a hit or miss.
Yeah.
Unlike DC,
which has
had one hit.
It was one hit. They're just riding that. And Aquaman.
Wonder Woman.
Not looking too good. It's a hard thing to do the sea movie. And with the budget they have, I mean, you don't have Disney money. Oof. You got Warner Brothers money, and it's different. But back to Stan Lee.
God, where did we go?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But sidebar, New Mutants does look dope. It's like a horror movie, like X-Men movie. So we'll see what happens. So, but I want to talk about, like, you know, Professor X versus Magneto. And it's such a beautiful paralleling the times where you have essentially like these stand-ins for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, where Professor X and his vision of harmonious human-mutant coexistence standing in for Dr. King, and Magneto's rigid attitude towards the defense of mutant kind reflected the philosophy of Malcolm X. And then the Sentinels, a brand of massive mutant hunting robots were introduced 2 years later as readers watched on TV Black Americans beaten and abused by white police officers.
So good. I also want to add in too that there's the backstory that it wasn't just Magneto was just like rigid in his views. They gave him the backstory of that he was a Holocaust survivor. So he was reactive, kind of like a Killmonger, where it's like which is deep.
And actually, it was like literally my next point, and on like piggybacking off of that, because of the two writers with Jack Kirby and Stan Lee both being Jewish, they were able to write from a more nuanced place. Whereas, like, if someone else would have tried to have done it, it would have just been like it wouldn't have maybe had the same resonance. And like you said, it humanized like these characters. They felt so human. These were such real stories ripped right from what was going on. And, this is a thing that I really love that Stan Lee would do. So he had Stan's Soapbox, and it was it was a bulletin statement that would appear monthly in Marvel Comics, and he did this from 1965 to 2001. And
doing
it for a good while. And he would, like, you know, essentially, like, kind of write different, sometimes it'd be like lecturing like people like what's going on, or just like his thoughts and opinions, and it just sort of like grounded the stories of what was happening. I want to pull up a clip, hold on. So he says in one of his bulletins in 1968, he says, "Let's lay it right on the line. Bigotry and racism are among the deadliest social ills plaguing the world today. It's totally irrational, patently insane to condemn an entire race, to despise an entire nation, to vilify an entire religion. Sooner or later, we must learn to judge each other on our own merits. Sooner or later, if a man is ever to be worthy of his destiny, we must fill our hearts with tolerance." And that was just sort of an excerpt of it. And I think he goes on to say that these comics are for, you know, everyone. And here's the thing, too. When Charlottesville happened, he retweeted out that same message.
Good.
I mean, I think he did a video recording of it, and that's like, don't be reading his comics if you're about this hate, because that's not what these Marvel comics are about at all.
Because freaking this was 1968 and we got to repeat this shit. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Right. And also to do it what did he stand to benefit? He did it because it was what was right within his heart, you know? That like he did it, like, he didn't have to do any of this, but this is what he knew was right. And I just really applaud that. And then also he gave us two badass African characters in Storm and T'Challa in 1966, which is like, damn, like, what? Right up in the middle of it.
Like, using his platform for good.
Yeah.
For fucking good.
Right.
You know? Like, and creating Wakanda in a place like... People give so much shit to the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
And he literally in Black Panther outlined how colonialism was terrible in 1968 while apartheid was still happening in South Africa.
Yeah.
That's radical.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And like, while you've talked about in this podcast too, about other Black comic book characters that have that were running before this, but this was the first time in like a mainstream setting that we were getting these characters. And again, Stan Lee didn't have to do any of this, right? But like, I feel like, you know, like his heroes, they felt like a sense of like a civic duty, you know. And even like, you know, their villains, like Magneto, felt like he had a civic duty to protect his people. Like, everyone was coming from a place of like, not just I want to destroy the world. I mean, some people like Galactus, but like, he was hungry and needed to eat universes to survive. So I mean, complex.
He had a reason.
He had to eat. Like, what? Not his fault. That's the only thing that can satisfy
hungry.
His appetite. Like, what? But yeah, like, you know, and also Storm, just so badass. She's one of the most popular characters in X-Men. Not Halle Berry Storm, but regular Storm in the comics.
Shade.
What? I just stayed in the facts.
I'm just, you know, you get mad at me when I shade Halle Berry.
She's been a member. She's a member of the Avengers. Again, not Halle. And she also even leads
shade
her own. She even leads her own team. She even leads her own, like, all-female Avengers team. And, you know, Stan Lee also reinvented the industry. You know, his characters were real people with real problems. Like, even look at the Fantastic Four. They were a family with superpowers. And, like, they weren't, like, these, like, rippling Superman and Aquaman and his little Speedo looking all cute. They weren't that.
Wow. There's a lot of subtext to this corner.
But they were a family that like bickered amongst themselves, and they also had to fend off things like bankruptcy and litigation, like real life shit, like issues. Bruce Banner,
someone was writing their lives into these comics.
Oh, I'm losing all my money. Someone's suing me. I have powers. My family's always fighting.
The Dark Shadow has to battle against traffic.
And Bruce Banner, I think, is a really dope thing. I mean, it's like the idea that men have anger issues, even the nerdy ones. So watch out, you know?
That's good.
I think Spider-Man resonates with so many people, because especially young folks growing up, because he's just a kid. He's just this little teen kid. And people with disabilities become heroes, like Thor, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, through very improbable ways. But it was this idea of like overcoming these hardships. And I think people can really, you know, resonate with that. You know, for me, it was like I could be a hero. Like, X-Men resonated so much with me when I was a kid growing up. I just had never seen anything like it. Me and my best friend used to play X-Men. I was always Rogue. He was always Storm. And I just, like, it allowed us to just have, like, our imagination and just to play.
That's so cute.
Yeah, we were, you know,
I love that.
Two little boys, but we wanted to be Rogue and Storm because they were badass and powerful.
They're the best characters. Nothing wrong with that. Fuck.
And then also just the lineage that, like, Stan Lee has had over the years in terms of laying the groundwork for new characters, like Riri Williams, who is the new Ironheart. There's a new, I think, Korean-American is the new Hulk. There's just such, you know, diversity. America Chavez. Spider-Man, Black Latino, Miss America Chavez, who's, like, you know, part of the Miss America. Captain America, you know, there's a Black Captain America.
Ms. Marvel is Muslim American too.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel, she's Muslim American. And he's laid down the groundwork for more people to come out and to play. And like, even like X-Men United, there's that great moment where in X-Men 2, that sort of coming out scene that Iceman has. And like, where they're just like, oh, can't you change who you are? He's like, no, this is who I am. And they're like, oh, she's like, oh, it's all, I think the dad's like, oh, it's all my fault. And he's like, actually, it's, you know, the mother's fault because of the genes. It goes through the mother's genes, similar that they think how like the gay gene is passed. And just
was a interesting,
wonderful layered conversation that Bryan Singer, gay director, brought to the table as well. And I think Iceman also in the comics is also gay as well now.
I think that was before the actual movie.
Right.
He came out.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of, you know, things that could be said against, you know, Stan Lee, the man, you know, definitely not perfect. He's been, you know, quoted as like, you know, did he do all the work that it seems like, you know, him and Jack Kirby had a falling out. Jack Kirby did a lot of the writing and a lot of the drawing. And, you know,
He's responsible for the trippy stuff, right? Like Jack Kirby does a lot of like galaxies.
Yeah,
I remember that.
A lot of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was an article that had came out around, I think, like 1968. And Stan Lee was given all the credit. And also, I think Steve Ditko as well was also one of the ground floor members of getting Marvel off the ground. And there was an article that, you know, essentially gave all the credit to Stan Lee about all the great stuff that was happening at Marvel, and that really hurt Jack Kirby. I mean, Stan Lee was the Beyonce. He was just stepping out, and he had also just like this ego driving force he also had like the business sense of like how to, you know, market all this sort of stuff, and also he tapped the right artist to come on board, and he also knew it. He knew he had this big ego, and he would, you know, play to that and some of the things that he would write. And so, yes, he wasn't perfect, but I say, look at all the power that he gave to people. There's also a debate amongst Twitter about his stance on like LGBT stuff. And from my from my viewpoint, he's never came out and said anything specifically like against, you know, homosexuality or gay people or anything that has been done since then. And so I just want to, and he came from a different time. So I wanted to just celebrate Stan Lee. And I think of many of you listening, the effects that he's had on our lives, you can't even measure it. And I think we don't even know in the day to day.
Huge.
And look at this, like this Marvel universe that's happening. It gave us this Black Panther movie that like, think about the conversations that has been able to unfold and the power that itself has like, you know, been given. And it's helped everyone, I think, to see the superhero inside of themselves through his very, very human characters. So thank you, Stan Lee.
Amen to that. And thank you, Stan Lee. Tip my hat off to you.
And to that.
And thanks for creating Jubilee.
Oh, yeah. Especially thank you for Jubilation Lee. And Dazzler. And Boom Boom. They're all kind of like the same kind of person. Actually, I don't even know. I think Chris Claremont may have created those, but he created the world in which they existed.
Yes, Stan Lee created the world in which all of these things existed.
Very true. Even Jubilee becoming a vampire years later, she lost her powers.
I did not know that.
They were running out of plots for Jubilee. She lost her powers and became a vampire.
You know what?
So to Stan,
she needed an arc.
She needed an arc. And to that, I say, Excelsior! That's his famous catchphrase.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Since the dawn of time, screenwriters have taken months to craft their stories. But now, three Hollywood professionals shall attempt the impossible. Break a story in 1 hour.
That's right. Here on Story Break, I, Freddie Wong,
Matt Arnold,
and Will Campos,
the creators behind award-winning shows like Video Game High School,
have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie.
Now, an awesome movie starts with an awesome title.
I chose The Billionaire's Marriage Valley.
Mine was Christmas Pregnant Paradise.
Okay, next we need a protagonist.
So I've heard Wario best described as Libertarian Mario.
And of course, every great movie needs a stellar pitch.
In order to get to heaven, sometimes you gotta raise a little hell.
That's the tagline!
Check out Story Break every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pump up Aneke and her jam. She's gonna lay down the knowledge for you. She's a librarian and you love her. It's Aneke time.
Yeah, I like that. I'll take that. That totally works.
I also love watching you just dance along to the song a little, bobbing your head.
I was just like softly dancing.
It was a soft little bob. I'm into this. I'm into this. Like, I ain't mad at it.
No, you know, quiet appreciation. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes real quick to point everybody's attention because, you know, especially you, James, we've talked before on this podcast.
Yes, we have. We've talked a lot of times.
We do. But you are a big proponent of diverse casting.
Oh, I love it.
Like, you have stopped watching shows because you're like, this is a bunch of white people.
Yeah, I have.
And I recently I just finished this one TV show that's on Amazon Prime called Homecoming.
I wanted to watch that.
You should watch it.
I'm
it's
here
really
for
good.
Julia Roberts. I saw her in
you know what?
The Normal Heart.
She does a good job.
Did you see her in The Normal Heart? Ooh, she is. She's slaying that movie. And I'm like, you know what, Julia? And then she does a two-part episode with Oprah Winfrey on Oprah Super Soul Conversations. They're like best friends. And listening to them talk, I'm like, oh, I just never knew this side of Julia Roberts, who's a caring.
She's great.
She's great. She's great. I get it. She is America's sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, and but I mean, aside from being America's sweetheart, she's also a great actress, and I feel like in Homecoming she's really showing her chops, which I feel like she hasn't. It's been a minute.
It's been a
you
while.
Know?
Yeah. Well, oh, I'm sorry. So, I like to recant. Paul Giamatti is America's sweetheart. I get that confused, but continue.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, so one thing that I did notice about Homecoming. Is that it is quietly diverse. And I say quietly diverse because it isn't like, this is a show about a black person and a white person taking on the those types of shows where it's like very like, it's a show where people just happen to be people of color. And I was really fascinated by it. And aside from that, the show is really great. It's like a noir. It's a thriller. It's two different times. It's just, it's a really good show. I say watch it. Plus, each episode is 30 minutes long, which is really easy to ingest.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you find like, so, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with the 30-minute episodes.
Because it's bingeable. It's
sometimes
good.
I want more.
No, you're going to get it. You'll love it.
Okay.
It's good.
How many episodes?
Trust me.
10.
10.
Ooh, okay.
And it's on Amazon. So what I was just watching it and I was like, okay. And like what I normally do when I really start to like something, I'll start researching it. Ooh. And I found out that Homecoming was before a fictional podcast. So they had actors playing the characters.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed, the main character, the main character is Julia Roberts. She plays this woman named Heidi. But the second main character is this guy named Walter Cruz. And Walter Cruz is played, I believe, by Oscar Isaac on the podcast.
Ooh.
But on the show, he's played by this up-and-coming actor, I think it's Stephon James.
Wow.
And Stephon James is black. And in fact, he's like really up and coming. He's going to be in If Beale Street Could Talk, the new.
The one based on James Baldwin's work. Directed by Barry. Is Barry Jenkins behind
Barry
that?
Jenkins. Oh, yeah, Barry Jenkins.
I mean, look at that. So
He's doing it and he's very attractive. But
I was going to say, because like you have to be able to replace Oscar Isaac, who's already sexy AF.
I know. And that's just his voice on the podcast.
I know. Who does not have a voice for radio, but
I mean, he has a face for radio. Yeah, he has a face for
can sit
the
on
pictures.
My face. Oh, too much.
Wow.
Too much.
Anyways, moving forward, Stephon James plays a without giving away the plot too much. He just plays a war vet, a military vet.
Ooh.
And has nothing to do with him being black.
Mm.
There's no race involved at all. But his mother's also involved, and they cast his mother, and they changed her role to be part, I believe is Haitian, because she goes in and out of patois when she's talking to him.
Wow. And look at the layers.
And then, yeah, and there's all of these other things. There's an assistant to this other guy on the show who, she clearly has a name that is ambiguous. I think her name is Audrey Temple on the show.
Mm.
And she's played by an Asian woman.
Oh.
And it's just done so seamlessly and so well, the casting, that I was like, wow, this is the way it should be. This is the hallmark of it. And so I thought, who did this? And I mean, that's a lie, because one of the reasons that I wanted to watch it was because I love Sam Esmail. But I was kind of like, what else has Sam Esmail done? And his other big call to fame was Mr. Robot.
Oh, which I didn't see.
It's It's still going.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild. It's okay. Another wild one, another stylistic, another thriller, cyber security kind of thriller sort of thing.
Ooh,
and
sexy.
That's the one that stars Rami Malek, mm-hmm. Who is Egypt American, and he won an Emmy Award, and I think he was one of the first people of color to win an Emmy Award for what he did, and he's the main person of the whole show. They got one of the hackers on the show wears a hijab.
Rami Malek, he's the one that he plays he's in that
Freddie Mercury right now.
Yeah, in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. So they have Sunita Mani. She plays a Muslim woman who's on the hacking team. Bidi Wong plays a character who goes who kind of is like in and out of gender, very gender fluid, and it wow. plays a whole kind of thing with that. It's just very plainly done,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not getting on a high horse. It's not trying to push envelopes. It's just done.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, we're casting a diverse cast, and these are the right people for the role.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just bring it up on the podcast because I want to applaud Sam Esmail, who actually is of Egyptian descent himself, from Hoboken, New Jersey. And I just feel like I got to support him in whatever he does because his casting is fucking brilliant. And people like Lena Dunham, people like... let's see who else is casting terribly right now.
Well,
the guy who did Mad Men, he has a new show called The Romanoffs that's out.
Oh yeah,
there's
it's getting all this buzz. But
nobody of color.
Well, hence, like I look at the trailer, look at the posters. I'm like, white. Okay, I'm not gonna be tuning in. Great, cool. Thank you for.
Yeah.
There's so much programming to watch. Thanks for making it. You know what? Keep doing it. It makes my job easier when there's less things for me to watch. So I'm just like, great. Too many white people. I can't watch that. My eyes just won't.
So, like, take a... Yeah, I mean, we need to direct our attention towards the Sam Esmails out there who are just doing the right thing with casting.
Doing the right thing to get... Yeah. And it also sounds like, too, like, I mean, I'm sure it also informs the storytelling a little bit because you have it... I think it's just always so much more interesting when you have a diverse group of people. And not to bring it back to... But Tony Robbins talks about in his book, Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But, like, diversifying...
Yeah, I know, mixing it up.
Diversifying your portfolio, like, from a financial standpoint, when you diversify your portfolio, you're going to financially do better. Like, life does better from diversification. Everybody wins from that.
Hello. It enriches the story. In Mr. Robot, to have a hacker who is Muslim and has a home life and is wearing a hijab, but also has a duality in life, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
To have a military veteran whose mother is Haitian who goes in and out of patois but is also a professor, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's levels that's exposing all of us to... American life that isn't normally shown.
Yes.
So you know what, Matt Weiner or whatever I think his name is for the Mad Men doing the Romanoffs, fuck you. Like, try to just diversify. Not everybody in your fucking Romanoff show is going to be related to that Russian Empire. So why don't you do some diverse casting and get some people who exist in America just like white people do?
Yep.
And put us on film. It
yeah.
really makes it enriches, like you said, diversify your portfolio, diversify your screens.
Ooh, snap. Mic dropped.
Yeah, and that's that.
What's that Shanice song about goodbye? Oh, I don't think she...
I don't know that song.
I don't think she does either.
Stop asking me questions about Shanice.
What is that? You know, what do you think Shanice is doing right now?
Stop
what do you think?
Don't care.
Oh, I'm gonna don't care. Don't you say that about Baby Shanice? She was gonna be the R&B princess, but no one picked her up. There was no Missy to lift her up on
Aaliyah
her shoulders.
Usurped her.
Yeah, she was like, my crown. Before we go, I do want to say I'm gonna have a full report for you next week because I am going to go see Olivia Pope live. Also known as...
Oh, you're going to American Sun?
Yes, also known as that. I'm going to go see Kerry Washington in Ooh, American exciting. Sun. And I'm going with our friend, Full Frontals, Ashton Nicole Black.
Look at you, celebrity life. I love it.
I'm on a billboard. She has a TV show. We'll go to the theater together to go see Carrie. To go see our friend Carrie.
Oh my God. That's going to be so good. I really am curious because I read a mixed review about it. But I also follow Kerry Washington on Instagram and everybody seems to be glowing about it on there. So I want to know your opinions. I really do.
I am excited. I hear it's intense as fuck. So I'm ready to rip roaring and get into it. So full report next week.
Mm, cool. I love it. We got a tweet of the week.
What? Oh my God. Tweet of the week. Hey.
And this one's kind of on topic. It feels like it's a little apropos to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Ooh. It is from at Sarah D. Patton. And they say, controversial opinion. All of Minority Corner's controversial opinions are facts.
Whoa.
That's some support.
I don't
agree with you.
Well, thank you. Because, you know, I'm gonna say something controversial right now.
Yes.
Which every time you say something like, I'm going to be controversial, I always end up agreeing with whatever it is that you're saying. And it's like a statement that I agree. I think every time you've buffered something with something controversial, it's been like dead on, like the fact.
You have a caveat though.
It's controversy. Unless it's about Star Wars. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying your caveat is when I buffer it. When I say controversial fact and then I say what I say, then you're like, mm-hmm. But if I just come out of the blue and be like, Tesla's awesome, you'll be like, no! Or I'll be like, Star Wars, whatever we talked about. You'd be like, no!
I do
and
appreciate
been
that.
Several
you,
times.
You do, you know, and you use it appropriately. You do, like, it's a nice little buffer. Thanks. And I think it also braces the audience. It braces me. And you say something, it's like, that's true. Just no one's willing to say that. Or, like, that's the thing. You know, like, you ease us into this thing that's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I'm waiting for, like, you to say something like, Pence should be president for the next 20 years. Yuck. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fuck no. Who is she?
I
who
don't
is
know.
That woman?
I don't know who your evil
Not
twin
me.
From the upside down world
Not
is.
Me.
But
she needs to go away.
Yeyekin, she gotta go. That's true.
Did you almost say Yeyonce?
She needed to go too. I don't trust her.
It felt like a Yeyonce.
I was trying to do a necky backwards. Yeyonke.
You know what? A necky backwards is Yeyonce. We'll just go with that.
Just give it a that. I don't trust her though. I don't trust her because she
know,
thinks
it,
that
controversial opinion.
Yeah, controversial opinion is I don't trust Yeyonce because she wants Pence to be president for 20 years.
No. Mm-mm.
Not you. Your no. upside down version of you.
Well, thank you for that.
This has been great,
listener.
Yeah, thank you for that. Oh man,
that's like I feel like I've worn out my welcome at your home. Oh. That's what you say when you're pushing me out the door. Well, this has been great.
Well, this has been good.
Okay, time for you to get on the road.
Oh, and also for those of you who might come at me and be like, "Ooh, well, Tony Robbins is a rich ass man. He is on a mission to feed a billion people." And that's just the Kool-Aid talking. I'm just saying. I had to...
You've managed to drop him in.
In every segment. One of us. One of us.
Oh, no! You know what?
We were doing a tribal clap of like going, yes, yes, yes. And that's...
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with a little yes, okay? Yes, we can. Yeah. Yes. Yes,
Minority
Corner.
Nothing wrong with a little yes.
Nothing wrong with a little yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree with you.
Well... y'all get involved in the conversation. You know how to do it. Yes. You can tweet at us. At
Minority Corner, everything.
Yeah, everything's Minority Corner with a K. I feel like the band's playing us off. We got to get out of here. I can just hear the music's coming on.
This is our own podcast, and we're like, oh.
They're like, the band's playing us off. Like, okay, oh, last thing, and we're at Minority Corner with a K, and don't do drugs. Or do it responsibly.
Do it safe.
Do it safely. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner, especially old and new listeners. Thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together
we're the majority.
Wow. Thanks for sticking to the end for that.
Love you.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.